So the topic today is the concept of Arvus. In the sixth parasha, we have the story of Har Gizim and Har Ebal. The Torah describes the mitzvah that Klai Yisrael will go into Eretz Yisrael. They will, the Sathas of Brach of Har Gizim is called Har Ebal, and the Torah gives the details of how they're going to do it with the Levim and the Kahanim in the middle, and six Shvatim on one mountain, six Shvatim on the other mountain. Klai Yisrael is going to be Seyam Main to the brachos and klolos which are given. So Chazal see this as a bris that Christ is going to undertake to commit to do the mitzvahs. And Chazal see this as well, that it's going to be an arvus, as a more insoita of Lamed Zion. But the more insoita talks about that, more makes a calculation of the amount of brises Christ undertook, because they undertook, each one was set as boruch, was set as order. There was klolim and there was pratim. Each mitzvah, we have a mitzvah to lilmoid, lilamed, lishmer, velasois. And each one we committed a bris to that. So we committed to 16 brisos. And more says, but it's not just that. We committed to not only do it ourselves, but to do it for other people as well. So 16 brises here, 16 brises by our Sinai, 16 brises by Cloaks of the Moor, whether it's Arvus Moyed or Oil Moyed. So it's 48 brises, 3 times 16, times 603,550. Because this was a commitment of Arvus. So the Moor sees it as a concept of Arvus. So just the word Orev, just the Orev is they have a mixture. So a mixture has two elements in it. By Hilchos Shabbos, there's a concept of Berur, the Melacha Berur. Melacha Berur presumes a Taruvus. If there's no mixture, there's no mixture of sifting it out. So what's the definition of a Taruvus? That it's not distinct. If it would be distinct, then there's no mixture of. It's not called Taruvus, and that's not a problem, but a Berur. So we see the definition of Arvus is that we blur the lines between individuals. They're not distinct. We see everybody as one. So that creates two. It's a two-way street, which means the actions that somebody I do negatively will impact somebody else. The word brings a pasuk. Each person will be nichshol by somebody else's averus. Will be affected as well. The manager gives a marshal, a person gets onto a boat, and he rents his seat, and he starts drilling under his seat. So everybody asks him, what are you doing? He says, well, I paid for my seat. He says, yeah, but you're going to take the whole boat down. So you can't just look at yourself and say, well, I'm doing whatever I'm doing, because you're affecting the whole boat. The second half of that is the mitzvah techocho. I have responsibility to make sure somebody's doing the right thing. If I see him doing something wrong, I have a mitzvah to correct him. So some of the achronim understand that the mitzvah techocho, which the Torah says is a separate mitzvah, but the root of the mitzvah techocha is rooted in the concept of Arvus of Kol Yisrael Revim Zeh B'Zeh. So the language is fascinating because Chazal have both the shonas Kol Yisrael Revim Zeh B'Zeh.
B'Zeh with a base
means they're mixed into each other. Kol Yisrael Revim Zeh B'Zeh. So that's a guarantor. An Arev is a guarantor because he's mixing into the situation. Doesn't belong here. He's not borrowing. He's not lending. He's mixing in, but he's mixing in to be a guarantor. So because I use lashon of Revim Zeh B'Zeh and Revim Zeh Lo Zeh, so both are true. So I'm affected by you, and I have responsibility towards you. The practical application of Arvus into halacha is Al Bishu Yatzah Moitzi. So if I want to help somebody else fulfill a mitzvah, so I say bracha and he hears my bracha, he can be yotz with me. How can he be yotz with me? Shmei Akoyinu, because he's hearing it from me. Fine. But there's the requirement that if he hears from a katan, it doesn't work. If he hears from a child, it doesn't work. Well, if he's hearing a bracha, the answer is the bracha of a katan is not a valid bracha because he's not chayiv in the mitzvah. Okay. I hear tkiya shofar. I have to hear the tkiya of a mitzvah to be here to a mitzvah. So the mitzvah is to hear shofar, not to blow shofar. So I'm hearing a shofar. I hear a katan blowing a shofar. It's no good. Because it's not a bar chiyuv, it's not a tkiya of a person who's chayiv in the mitzvah. Okay, so now I blow shofar once, I'm yotze shofar. Now I want to be mutz to somebody else, but he's not hearing from a bar chiyuv. I don't have a mitzvah. I don't have a chiyuv of shofar anymore. So how can I do that? So Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah because of Arvus. So Rashi, the way Rashi seems to read is, my responsibility to you means that I'm still chayiv in the mitzvah. I've not really fulfilled my mitzvah yet because it's not enough that I do the mitzvah. I have to make sure that you do the mitzvah. So I have a chiyuv of tkiyah shofar. I'm blowing a shofar, which I must do. I have a mitzvah in the Torah to blow shofar to make sure that you are yotzei the mitzvah. So it's called a tkiyah of a bar chiyuv, a person who's chayiv in the mitzvah. So Arvus confers a status of mitzvah because I still have responsibility for somebody else. And that allows it to be a Baruch Yehuda.
Is that like a separate mitzvah, or is that, you know, you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah, or you have an additional mitzvah since there's somebody else there who doesn't have their mitzvah yet?
So that's a great question. Let's see. So there's a fascinating Rosh in Brachas, the seventh parak. The word over there says a story, that Shimon Shotach was saved. Yana did a purge of all the rabbis, all the chachamim. Shimon Shotach was a brother-in-law. His sister, the wife of the Malka, the wife of the king, saved him, hid him. At some point, they needed a chacham, and she made the king promise that if she would find a chacham, he wouldn't hurt him. They pulled Shimon Shotach.
Is the court question if someone blows shofar more than once a day, can they say make more than one bracha?
Well, the issue is, they could make a bracha to much other person. The issue is just, before you get to the bracha, what does it help to blow shofar for a second time? I'm not responsible for the mitzvah anymore. It's like a child blowing the shofar. Right. And I'm not going to be yotze. The answer is, I do have a chiyuv. I have a chiyuv to make sure that you're yotze. If you need me, the law is actually, if the person who's listening can make the bracha, they should make the bracha. If they're not able to make the bracha, then the person who's blowing would make the bracha a second time as well, or a third time. So the Rosh comes along and says, why they pull them out of hiding? Because they didn't know how to bench. They didn't know the words of benching was not written down. And they didn't remember all the words of benching, so they needed the Chacham to bench for them. He would bench, they would listen. So where he comes out of hiding and says, what am I supposed to say? I didn't eat anything. So they gave him to eat also. The Rosh says the truth is they did not really need to eat because there's a concept of Arifus. He can be much to them even if he didn't eat. He has to be much to them in benching. But since in the Mezumin we say Baruch Shachalnu that we ate, he didn't eat. So that's why he had to eat. Rosh continues and says, however, but by a woman, that would not be so. She would have to eat because there's no Arifus by Nosha. Because the Mora says in Soita that the Arifus was 603,550. That's only the men. It doesn't mention the women. So the Rosh seems to say there's no Arifus by Nosha. So because of this, the comes along the night of Yehuda and says the following fascinating point. So Friday night, there's a mitzvah of the rice to say Kiddush. Magen Rama says that mitzvah of the rice of saying Kiddush, you fulfill when you say the words Mekadesh HaShabbos, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos, in Shemoneh Esrei. So why are you saying Kiddush again at home? Because it's the mitzvah of the Rabbanan to say it on the Kris. The mitzvah of Kiddush applies to men and women as well. So my husband comes home, and on a Torah level, he has no mitzvah anymore of Kiddush. His wife has a Torah level mitzvah of Kiddush. So how can he mitzvah her? He's not chayav in the mitzvah anymore. He has a chiyav drabonon, but it doesn't help for a chiyav deraisa. So the Dogma of Rabba says, according to the Magen Avraham, you're going to have a problem that the husband cannot be mitzvah his wife. So he suggests two possibilities. Either that the Magen Avraham is wrong and you're not yotzei Kiddush what you say in Shemoneh Esrei, because you don't mention you say Mitzrayim over there, you don't have kavanah for that, so you're not yotzei there, or you should have specifically you should have kavanah not to be yotzei in order to be able to mitzvah your wife.
But wait, if you don't say there's any arvus by nashim, what difference is it?
Well, Shemei HaKohen works. Shemei HaKohen does not need arvus. She's hearing it. She has to hear it from a person who's chayiv. So I have not been yotzei in the mitzvah yet. I'm chayiv. So I'm saying Kiddush chayiv. She's been yotzei for me. Who is chayiv? She's hearing it, right? But if I'm not chayiv anymore, so she's hearing it from a person who's like a child. The answer is, well, I still chayiv because I have the chiyuv of arvus. No, I don't. Not for women. So Rav Kiviger comes along and says 2 points. He says, first of all, regards to the issue of the raisa, you must be Kiddush. There's no standard way that you have to say it. The Rambam says you have to say something unique and special about Shabbos. So most people don't walk around and say, have a good Tuesday. But you do say, have a good Shabbos. You say, have a good day. But Shabbos, you call it by name. There's something unique and special about Shabbos. So Gregor suggests that just saying good Shabbos would fulfill the level of a Torah obligation to be yotzei the mitzvah. So he says, you walk into your house Friday night, you say good Shabbos to your wife, and she says good Shabbos back. She just fulfilled the mitzvah of the rice of saying Kiddush. So now you're both on the Chayav Rabbanan. Now you can invite her. That's what Gregor suggests.
And if she had said that to anybody else, it also would have
helped. Yeah, I was saying, as long as she says good Shabbos to somebody. So there is a famous tshuva from the Sitz Eliezer, Rav Aldenburg. She says, you have this problem. If that's true, Kiviger's point is true, it would also be true for Havdalah. So you get into a bus, Motzi Shabbos, in Eretz Yisrael. The driver's a Jew, and he's a secular Jew. He hasn't made Havdalah yet. He shouldn't be driving you. So you say to him, Shavua Tov. He says, back Shavua Tov. He said, Havdalah. So now you fulfilled this obligation. That's what Rivaldenberg suggests you should do when you get on the bus. And what's Shabbos? If the driver was Mechal Shabbos, he probably didn't make Havdalah. That's what you should do. Comes to Kibbeger and says, you know what? I think that the Nadi Behuda got the whole idea wrong. The Rosh is not saying that there's no din of arvus between men and women. The Rosh is saying, the Gemara says in Brachas and Daf Chav, that women, since benching requires to say the words Eretz, and the main division of Eretz Israel was not given to women, only to men, so women are not chayiv in benching their raisa. So the din of arvus is not that I have to make sure you do your mitzvahs, is I have to make sure the mitzvahs that I'm responsible, I have to make sure are done properly. So if I'm chayiv in benching, I have to make sure that you bench as well. If I'm not chayiv in benching, I don't have to worry about your benching. So arvus is not on the person, it's on the mitzvah. So if you understand arvus is on the person, I have to make sure you do your mitzvahs. Say, well, I'm not chayiv in the mitzvah, I have to make sure you do your mitzvahs. You are chayiv. Right? But if your creator understands that arvus is on the, I responsibility to make sure the mitzvahs which I am chayiv in are done. The Torah said I'm not chayiv in certain mitzvahs, so I have no responsibility for, I have no responsibility for those mitzvahs. So women are not chayiv in mentioning the raisa, so they don't have, there's no arvus between the man and the woman on that mitzvah. She's not chayiv for that mitzvah. But kiddush, which women are chayiv, made a raisa, such a kibeger. So there is arvus between the man and the woman. So there's no problem. The whole Dogram of Avos, the whole Nadi Behuda's assumption is all incorrect. And that's how Rick Rager says he would disagree with the whole premise. So there's really two different ways of looking at Arvus in that point. So let's say the issue between a Yisrael and a Kohen. Do I have Arvus to make sure the Kohen duchens? That the Kohen doesn't marry a Grusha? Do I have such an Arvus? Right? So according to the Nadi Behuda, yes. According to Rick Rager, no. That's one of the questions they asked in Kibbeger, because the Mora says that Bezin has responsibility to make sure that the Koyan doesn't marry a Grusha. Why? They're Yisraelim. Why are they Chayim in that mitzvah? That's one of the questions in Kibbeger. The Gemara does say, so we have a question, if women are included, so why does it only say that the Arbus is 603,550, which is the amount of men? Right, so Tosfos suggests in one place, since we didn't know the number, we didn't say a number. So Tosfos says in regards to, are gerim included in arvus? Do I have arvus for a ger? Does the ger have an arvus for me? Because the gerim only came around afterwards, right? So, well, as a matter of fact, Tosfos says, what about the Erev Rav? The Mor says, the 603,000, there was an Erev Rav. What happened to the Erev Rav? So Rashi says there's no arvus by a gerim, that's why I didn't mention the Erev Rav. Tosfos says, no, they mentioned the Erev Rav included. We don't know how many people were in the Erev Rav. So we didn't say a number. But really, the number is much greater, because it includes the... So that would be the same answer why I didn't mention women, according to Tosfos. It also didn't mention Leviim. Right? Will we say that Leviim and the Kahanim aren't included in the 603,550 either? There was 22,000 plus Leviim. Right? So if you're saying that if you're getting this more as being very specific, what happened to the Leviim? Tosfos says, well, based on choices, you would say, because we don't know the number exactly how many Leviim there were. So the count of Leviim, we know a count of Leviim much earlier. This is the end, right? So we only have one count of the Leviim, which was at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, which was at the it was still at the beginning. We don't have accounts for the Leviim. Later on in Pinchas, they recount Kaiser, they don't recount the Leviim. It says Leviim, we're not counted. It lists their names, doesn't give a number. So there are, the Ian Yaakov says Leviim are not included. He says, according to Rashi, Gerim are not included, according to Nashim are not included, and then Leviim are not included. So that would be fascinating. That's the Nafkimin al Halacha. So if a lady blew a shofar once,
he couldn't do it for Yisrael
afterwards. He blew a shofar already. Right? The Geir blew a shofar.
Vice versa.
And vice versa. Right. Right. So it would be the assumption in Halacha is we assume Leviim and Geir are included.
And Kohanim.
Leviim, are included. And Noshim is questionable. So I think that's
good. Leviim are included or not included?
What? The VM are included. Okay, yeah, that's important. It's good to hear. Yes,
I don't blow chauffeur, okay. But it's good to hear anyway.
There you go.
Okay, so I think we have to stop here. Okay. We'll bench.